Julian, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Thanks very much for joining me. So I guess to throw you right in the deep end, are you able to explain a little bit about this very intricate relationship between artists and actors and musicians and critics and journalists who write about them?
Yeah, I'll give it a go. It sort of points up the difference between what you think you want as a human being and what you actually need. Critics have very frequently covered my shows, and I've hated what they've said. But at the end of the day, the commentary that they provide is more than just exposure. It's a way of understanding what it is that I'm doing as an artist individually, and also what it is that I'm a part of collectively in terms of Melbourne theatre or Australian theatre generally. And that process of providing a context, really, for the work is as important as the individual judgments that go to make it up. And if that context is removed, then it's a little bit like, you know, losing your compass. You're not quite sure where you are anymore. And that, I think, is what's at stake. It's not just a few jobs. It's about our ability to make sense of the culture around us.
Well, it does sort of permanently alter sort of standards that we look at art by if there's no standard that things are held to. And do you think that, or why do you think that arts and culture, those aspects of Fairfax magazine, was almost targeted in these cuts?
Well, regrettably, I think. I suppose some people think of it as a sort of a discretionary side of newspaper coverage. I think that would be a very incorrect perception. I think the world that we live in is one that is governed largely by cultural forces now. Politics are important, economics are important, but the way that people relate to the world is through their cultural symbols and their cultural understandings. And the arts are a part of that. They're not the only bit of it, but they're certainly not a kind of funny little tip of the iceberg. They are actually reflect fundamental forces in society.
If you've just tuned into 2SER, we're speaking right now to Strategic Press Professor of Creative Arts at Flinders University, Dr. Julian Merrick, to discuss the interdependent relationship between the arts and arts journalists. Now, Julian, as someone who writes a lot myself and is part of, I suppose, the critique media, something which I want to ask you about is the shift with online and online availability to arts content and how this has changed the role of the critic in the digital world. Now, of course, decades ago, a critic would be writing about something for audiences so that they knew where to invest their money in arts. So something like, say, I guess a big one is music. So you knew which albums to buy. Now with such ease of availability at little to no cost, seems like it's easier to just go out and listen to bits of an album than to read a review about it.
Yeah.
So in light of this digital shift, how has this affected the role of the critic?
Well, it's certainly changed it and in a way given it a big hit. So if I think of the theatre critics that I know, Harry Kippax and Catherine Brisbane and Len Raddick, who wrote for The Age for many, many years, they were regarded as, and they probably saw themselves as, authorities, as experts. And when they pronounced on a show, that was generally taken to be the kind of the authoritative opinion. It's very hard to think of a critic who is viewed in exactly that way these days. And I think it's partly because of the prevalence of alternative opinions on the media that you talk about. It's very easy to kind of find another point of view. But I do think that the balance between the traditional voice of the critic and what social media now offer in its multiplicity of outlets and so forth, that balance is still being negotiated. We're still trying to find out what the right balance is. I don't think that the day of the critic has gone or anything, any nonsense like that. We still need that guidance. It's just inserted in a different kind of way. And if the issue back in the 80s or 1990s was how to spend your money, well, these days it's just how to manage the vast multiplicity of choices that are out there. How can we make sense of all the things that are out there? Because there's huge what they call costs of discovery involved in working through every possible choice. And how would you do it anyway? So the critic's role and the role of arts journalism generally is still essential to that process, even though we have this new media environment.
Mm. Well, in the wake of Fairfax's cuts, do you think that we could see similar cuts to other media institutions around the country and a more drastic effect on Australia's arts media?
Yes, that's the second time I've been asked that question, and I think the answer is almost certainly yes. Once the water starts to run out of the bath, then other eddies kind of join it. And I think that would be very regrettable. You know, I'm a theatre historian, so I've read many arts media articles covering Australian theatre, really from the late 1940s onwards. And when you look at newspapers at that time, at that earlier time, when they have almost no arts coverage, it's kind of weird and a little bit disturbing. And then you gradually see that increase, and it correlates quite strongly with the growth in Australia's sense of social identity. It's almost like the country is, you know, maturing socially as it matures culturally. And to see that link break or to come under, you know, any kind of pressure is a kind of disturbing thing.
Mm. Well, I suppose the inverse of that, of course, Fairfax is a big mainstream media corporation. Over the past few years, almost in lashback, I know we've seen the emergence of quite a few different independent, small-time media enterprises, independent magazines, a lot of hard copy stuff coming out. Do you think in the wake of something like this, we could see perhaps something more positive come out of it and a development of alternative underground arts media?
Yeah, I think there's always there are always positives that come out of every situation. But when we talk about different styles of media coverage, I do suspect that we're talking about complements and not substitutes. So that these two things are great when they reinforce each other up to a point because they provide alternative points of view and they cover different functions. But when they start to substitute for each other, which is the danger here, if Fairfax go ahead with these cuts, then I think you get some poor social outcomes out of that.
Mm. Well, Julian, it's going to be very interesting to see how things do unfold for arts media in the country in wake of these cuts. Thanks so much for joining me this morning, giving me your time and some of your wonderful opinions.
My pleasure.